I am delighted to be joined in studio. My favourite part of the month, as they say, is Shirley Smith has joined me. And today we're going to talk about something I know it doesn't involve any of you out there, sibling rivalry. None of you have ever, ever, ever fought with your brothers or sisters. But it does happen, I hear. Shirley, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Declan?
I know I've sort of moved you around a little bit today. I was originally bringing you in at 2:30 to do a pre-record, and then when I was doing the programme, we said we might as well do it live. So I'm sorry for that, but you'll forgive me.
No, that's absolutely fine. And I should say today's topic has been chosen by a group of moms that I was talking to last week. So I just want to say hello to them, and I hope that they find these tips and ideas helpful.
Absolutely. Is it a big problem? Do you come across it much?
Yeah, it can be. I suppose parents feel frustrated. They can feel a little bit more like a referee some days than a parent. And I suppose there's different reasons why it might happen. And I suppose the first thing to say is that actually sibling rivalry and arguing with your sibling is a good life skill. It's a place where at home you learn conflict resolution, you learn how to problem solve, you learn how to share. So for children, it is an important life skill for them to experience. But that doesn't make it easy on parents. So I suppose today the topic is really like, when do we intervene? When should we ignore? Why might it be happening? You know, looking at all those kind of things to support parents if they feel more like a referee than a parent some days at home.
Yeah, because it can be very frustrating as a parent. I mean, I find that the older I get, like, I appreciate my siblings way, way more the older I get. They're always there for you. They don't question you. They don't query you. They don't do anything. You know, they're just there for you, you know. But I wouldn't have said that was the same when we were young. And, you know, as parents, sometimes I think we like our kids to get on. And if they don't, it can be a bit frustrating.
Yeah, and personalities. Children are learning about their personalities. They're also learning how to navigate the world and relationships. And you're right, like our sibling relationships are very often our very first child relationship with another child, and the one that's hopefully most long lasting, that lasts until adulthood. It isn't always the case though. So it's just difficult for parents, I suppose. When do they intervene? When do they ignore it? If it's happening a lot, it can drive you a bit crazy because you can feel like you're correcting or intervening a lot. And the thing is, like, when we intervene is really important. Like, if we intervene too early and shut down the argument too early, then we're actually denying children an opportunity to learn how to negotiate, how to problem solve, how to resolve conflicts and repair after a disagreement.
So but that's a bit difficult, Shirley, because, you know when you see them and it's building up.
Yes.
And they're getting at each other, and you know this is fine, and this is almost like it's play-like for a while, but you know where it's going. It's very hard not to sort of stop it at that phase.
Yeah, it is, like, and it is. And the thing is, like, the key questions to ask yourself as a parent is it excessive? Are they physically hurting each other? And if the answer is yes to that, then we do need to intervene, and there are steps that we need to take. But there are ways that we can do that so that it happens less often. The first thing I'd love to explore is get parents thinking about why is it happening. So these are just some of the reasons. OK, they're not all the reasons. But if one child feels a parent is giving more time to their sibling, they can feel jealous. And sometimes it's because the younger sibling simply needs more of your attention due to their age. Or you might have a child who has additional needs, or they've got something going on for them at the moment. And the other children, your other children may feel that this jealousy because they think you're giving the child with the greater need, as you see it, more of your attention. So that's one thing. Siblings of the same gender and close in age commonly argue more often as they see themselves as in competition with one another. So that's another thing. So like if you've got two boys and there's only a year and a half between them, they're going to get competitive. Are they mirroring what they see you as parents doing? Like it's normal for parents ourselves to disagree and argue. OK, But how often do we let our children at home see us repair after an argument? Very often parents might have an argument and repair, you know, say sorry or, you know, repair in private when the kids are gone to bed because they're having the conversation. So then children don't get to see repair after conflict. So like it might be a good idea, even if you've had a chat in private and repaired, to actually repair in public in front of the children if you argued in front of the children. So they get to see that their mom and dad have made up.
That's very good. That's very logical. Yeah.
Yeah. So they can see this is the logical next step. It's OK that people might fall out, but this is how we repair afterwards. For some children, they recognise the fastest way to get their parents' attention is hitting out or fighting with a sibling.
Absolutely.
So they know if I whop my sister across the face, mom or dad is suddenly I've got their attention. And for some children, if they feel that they're a bit lost or a bit like, you know, needing your attention, if they hit out, negative attention is better than no attention. So it might be that you need to spend a bit of quality time with them one-on-one to get them to stop hitting out. Are they watching or playing violent games like MMA, boxing? Children can sometimes act out what they see. So cartoons or, you know, PlayStation games or whatever. Are they aggressive? Many children hit out simply because they don't have strategies on what else they can do to solve the problem. So they just don't know what else to do.
Yeah, well, you can understand that. You just get so frustrated that you just hit out and that's it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So I suppose the next logical step then is after you've thought about why might it be occurring for the children in your house, think about these are some of the steps that we can do to help, okay? And the first one, I suppose, is the hardest one. It's ignoring minor squabbles. And this sounds easier than it is. Like if you're in a car or a confined space or you're out in public and one is meh, meh, to the other.
It's side. Usually tell him to stop looking at me.
Yes. Yeah. Or stop copying me or, you know, the usuals.
Yep.
Then it's safe, though, to ignore. They are minor squabbles and should be ignored because the child needs an opportunity to negotiate, to problem solve, to resolve conflicts. As long as they aren't hurting each other, then allow them the space to work it out. The next thing to be aware of is tattlers. So sometimes a child isn't getting their own way in an argument or in a disagreement or in a negotiation with their sibling, and they come and tattle, so-and-so hit me, or they won't let me have. And it can draw the parent into the argument. That's what they're trying to do. So, like, saying something like, I'm sure you can both work it out, or come and tell me when you've sorted it out with each other, might be a good thing to say. On the other hand, a child may come and tell you that something that can't be ignored, like there's hitting happening or there's a child destroying property in your house. And the trickier is to help your child assess the situation and problem solve so that they're not coming and tattling about minor things, that they're coming and telling you if they've been hit, hurt, or there's damage to property in your home.
Yeah, and of course with the tattling, you don't know if it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Exactly.
And it most likely isn't any of those.
Yeah,
you know, so.
Totally. And then the key bit, I suppose, to what to do to reduce these arguments happening is to teach your child problem-solving skills. So the best way to do this is to have discussions when they're not fighting, on a regular basis. So when there's no arguments happening, and even if you have to make up a story about two children that you know of, kind of thing, and this is a common disagreement that they're having, what might they be able to do to fix it? And having those kind of discussions when they're not arguing is a good way to teach children how to problem solve, because they can imagine they're thinking about the situation. They're not arguing with anyone, but it's helping the child to think of possible solutions. And
okay,
that stops them from hitting out because you're giving them strategies of what they can do if they were in that situation. With older children or teenagers, you can sit with them and problem solve together. So brainstorm all the possible solutions to the problem. And at that stage, no idea is a bad one because we're brainstorming. So if your child mentions hitting out, etc., just write it down as a possible solution, because it is a possible solution. Then afterwards, you can chat about the consequences or possible outcomes that might arise from choosing certain outcomes. So if they've picked hitting out, then you could say, okay, what might happen if you did that? Well, they could hit me back. Or I could get into trouble with my teacher, or I could get grounded by you. Do you know what I mean? So then you can pick out what's a good idea and what's a not so good idea. But at the brainstorming stage, let them brainstorm all the ideas, even the ones that you think aren't a good idea. And then get them to choose from those, the ideas that they think are a good idea, get them to choose which one they want to try out, and ask them, do they want to do that by themselves, or is there somebody that they need to support them with that? And then if they ask for your support, you can give it. Once you have these discussions regularly, then when the fight actually happens, you can ask them, do you have any ideas about what to do? And praise them when they come up with one and try out a solution. So like you're getting them to learn problem solving skills, because this, like, we think our children should know this stuff, or we tell children you need to be kind. But what happens if my sibling has taken my favorite toy and it's my treasured possession and I'm really struggling with the emotions of that? Like, how do I fix that without grabbing it off them or hitting them to get it back? So that's why these problem solving discussions can really help. And then scaffolding. Sometimes we do need to scaffold. You know, sometimes we do need to, like, maybe call a child aside and ask them, you know, what can you do? I can see that you're getting frustrated. What can you do in this situation? How can you calmly ask? Or if they're fighting over a toy, you might remove the toy and say you can have it back when you have agreed how to share. Or if they're fighting while playing game, PlayStation, you can remove the gaming controllers and say, I'll give it back when you've agreed a plan on how to share this.
Is that what you mean by scaffolding, sort of almost interfering or almost coming in anyway and doing something?
Well, you're stepping in to force them into a negotiation.
Right.
You're letting them know this can't go on. Mm-hmm. You're removing the item they're fighting over and telling them that they have to... figure it out, and then you can give back the item, but the arguing has to discontinue. If children physically fight a lot, it is just as important to teach the victim of physical fights to avoid the aggressor, just as much as it is to teach the aggressor self-control.
Yeah, I read that, and I sort of double read it, if you know what I mean. I suppose is that self-protection you're talking about there, really,
yeah,
in a way?
Yeah, safety planning.
Yeah.
So rather than, we can often focus on the child that hits out, and then we don't tell the children who might be getting hit a lot what they can do instead to avoid a situation where they get hit, do you know?
Yeah.
So you need to do a little bit of safety planning with them. You know, sometimes the child who is the victim of physical fights might actually be the one that's teasing the aggressive child a lot,
yeah,
and driving them to the point where they hit out. So these are things you need to unpick. And what I would say is when emotions are high, separate them to allow things to calm down. Talking with children and reasoning with children when their emotions are running sky high is not the time. So often we might say, let your brother have, or let your sister have, or stop hitting out. You know, rather than separating them, we might need to physically separate them into separate parts of the house and then wait till they've calmed down to have a discussion on what happened and that hitting out isn't acceptable. The other thing I love is if something gets broken and a parent says, which one of you broke the item? What you tend to get is he did it, no, she did it, no, he did it. You know, this kind of arguing. So instead of getting into that, if there's the children who are fighting and there's items broken, get them both to clean up.
Why should I? He did it.
Well, that's the whole thing. The mess has been made.
Yeah.
I wasn't here, so I didn't physically see who did it. So the consequence is you both have to clean up. And longer term solutions, I suppose, that really work as well as having the chats regularly about problem solving is having family meetings. Holding weekly regular family meetings cuts down on arguments, and it also helps your planning because you're asking, like, this week, when have you swimming? Have you got PE this week? Do you need, have you got a note from school? You know, so it actually helps you to chat with your children about these things. They're not, you're not waking up in the morning to go to school and they say, Mom, today is PE kit day and you know it's wet in the washing machine. Do you know? So there's lots of reasons why family meetings are really positive. You can talk through disagreements that they might be having in the week and you can end it with like a family dessert so that it's something nice that they have, do you know? And love uniquely rather than equally. So a lot of the times, parent, we can focus on treating children the same. So if one child likes Taekwondo, we'd say, we'll bring their brother because there's only a year and a half between them. They can both do Taekwondo. But they might like Taekwondo. So like celebrating our children for their unique talents and praising them for their individuality and avoiding things like, why can't you be like your brother and bring your plate to the sideboard or whatever it is, that those kind of things, comments create the competition and actually make our sibling arguments worse.
Yeah, I love that. Love uniquely rather than equally. It's a lovely concept, and it's a great concept, you know.
Yeah, and avoid favoritism, which sounds easier said than done, but we have personalities as parents, our children do, and sometimes personalities can clash. But just avoid favouritism from the eyes of your child. Like, you might think, I'm being really fair as a parent, but they might think, oh, that you're giving more of your time to one child over the other. Preparing a child for a new family member, let them get the siblings help with the preparations. Give each child time alone with you. And encourage separate spaces as well. So the often older children are asked to allow them to play, the younger siblings to play with them, but they want time with their own friends.
Yeah.
Or they might have games or toys that's special to them. So allowing children to have their own special things that no, they don't have to share. And then the other, everything else is for sharing. But just kind of being mindful of not kind of always insisting that the older child is the one that gives in to the younger child all the time.
And I think we all do that as parents, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, sort of say, look, he's the younger one. Would you ever be nicer to him or whatever, you know?
Yeah. And I suppose older children can often resent that level of responsibility. So just kind of avoiding doing it is kind of best. And avoid, at the same time, overprotecting the younger child. Like, are we so overprotective because they're the youngest? Like, do we always kind of take their side? You know, and that kind of thing. So just those kind of things really help. And I suppose the last thing I would say is to remember that fights between siblings are normal. Don't moan too loudly that they're always fighting, as your children may decide just to live up to your complaint.
Yeah. I mean, no, you have some great ideas there. Absolutely brilliant ideas. I wish my mother had talked to you when I was younger, because Niall mightn't have won as many fights as he did. But anyway, that's it.
Well, hopefully it helps some today. And obviously people can come into our drop-in clinic any Tuesday morning if they want to tease out specific issues that they might be having around this topic.
No, and we'll put this up as a podcast, as I say, because it's always well worth having a listen back to.
Thank you.
Thanks a million, Shirley.